Hello, and welcome to Harp Column Podcast, taking you behind the stories in Harp Column from a practical harpist perspective. My name is Christina Finch, and I will be your guide to all things harp. Music for today's episode comes from the CD American Harp, recorded by Yolanda Condonasis. Episode 39 is special. Usually, we focus our discussions around issues that are covered in our magazine, but today we're bringing you something a little different. Think of it as breaking news, harp edition. In today's episode, I speak with harpist, teacher, and environmentalist Yolanda Condonasis. Yolanda was gracious enough to take a little bit of time out of her very busy life to speak with me about the upcoming premiere of Pulitzer Prize-winning composer Jennifer Higdon's new harp concerto with the Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra. This is a huge deal. Having a composer like Jennifer Higdon write a substantial piece for our instrument is monumental, and as you will hear, the piece sounds like a joyride to play, perform, and listen to. I want to go ahead and dive into our discussion. Yolanda is someone in our community that doesn't really need any introduction, so without further ado, Yolanda Condonasis, in anticipation of her May 10th and 12th 2018 performances of the new concerto for harp by Jennifer Higdon with the Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra.
Well, you know, the Higdon Harp Concerto has been a project that's really been in the works for probably close to 10 years that I first got in Jennifer's queue to write an instrumental solo concerto for the harp. And I've watched her career just kind of explode over the last decade, and every time I hear a new piece of hers, it just resonates with me in terms of the great mixture of, first of all, you know, being idiomatic music for the instruments, you know, and the other artists that I've talked to that she's written for have always told me the great thing about Jennifer, or one of them, is that she really listens. She wants to write music that, you know, is not easy, but is idiomatic. You know, it's written for the instrument intended. And I think that really makes her unique in that she's not just married to a vision, whether or not it can be played on a given instrument. And that combined with the fact that she just really seems to have a wonderful, in my opinion, combination of accessibility and originality. And I think that's a really tough balance to strike because, you know, it's easy to write accessible music. And I suppose it's somewhat easy to write things that, you know, sound different to the ear. But what's a real trick, I think, is to write music that is both accessible and original. And I think she does that. There's just such a beautiful kind of innovation in her sound and in her sonic world that I just really love. There's a little bit of magic in there, too. You know, she uses percussion extremely creatively. And I think that when you're dealing with an instrument like the harp, something like percussion, that little magical touch, that otherworldly touch, that quality that isn't just violin or flute sounds we're accustomed to, instruments that can sound like a whole lot of different things, kind of like the harp, just makes for a wonderful combination.
Working with composers, and in turn, with contemporary music, can be at once hugely rewarding and exceedingly frustrating. No shade to composers here. I have no doubt that you are just as frustrated with your harpist colleagues as they often are with you. Harp is a complicated instrument to write well for, and every composer approaches the collaboration and process differently. I was curious how Jennifer and Yolanda navigated these waters.
I spent an afternoon with Jennifer in Philadelphia last spring, I think. It was the spring of 17. And we had a great lunch and just talked about everything. And then we went over to Curtis, and Elizabeth Hanen very graciously loaned me a harp for the afternoon. And I just sat there and kind of played for her. I just played all sorts of different music, contemporary and traditional alike, and talked about what works particularly well, what doesn't work as well. We experimented with some sounds and some combinations, and I just feel like that kind of a listening session is just maybe what makes her so unique. She really was curious. You know, she wasn't just there to take some notes and, you know, sort of plug in some ideas to a vision she already had. Her mind was just fully open. And as I've been working on this piece, I just realized how much she really did listen. In fact, when I first started it a couple of months ago, and I had all the movements intact and had it sitting there on my music stand and was fingering it and pedaling it, I was, you know, I think it is probably, I shouldn't say this, but I think it was probably the first time I have ever talked to myself in ways where I was saying things like, "Oh my God, I love you, Jennifer." You know, because stuff actually worked. I wasn't having to refigure everything and just sit there with my head in my hands thinking, how in the world am I going to make this work with four fingers in each hand? And, you know, I texted her right away and I said, you know, this is the first time I've ever said something to myself while looking at a contemporary piece of music for the first time. And what came out of my mouth was suitable for my daughter to hear. And I must say, I have had a blast learning this piece. You know, it's just fun to play. There's a groove you can get into with it, which I remember telling her that, you know, at some point in the piece, I would love her to write something that was a groove. And I don't know, that sounds like, you know, hippie 70s language, but, you know, I find that when it is the most fun to play, things like the Ginastera concerto, and you know, there are others, of course, but places in music where you just feel like you're at one with everything, you're not in conflict, you're not trying to juxtapose something against something else that just doesn't make immediate sense to the ear. I just said, at some point in this piece, can you write me a groove? And there's a lot of that, and I just love it, where I feel like I'm really a part of the big texture, rather than it being just, you know, opposing the texture. It's fun, I have to say. I just feel like after I practice her piece for a couple, 3 hours, you know, I may be just dead when I start, because after a full teaching day or something, I'll sit down at the harp at like 10 at night, and I'll think, oh, goodness. And after I get done practicing it, I'm just wired, just feel like I could go another couple hours.
Have you seen Harp Column on social media or clicked through to a news story on our website? Or maybe you've listened to our Harp Column podcast or gotten one of our email newsletters. However you interact with Harp Column, we want to make sure you're getting the very best of what we have to offer, which is the magazine we began publishing 25 years ago. That's right, 2018 marks the 25th anniversary of Harp Column magazine. And Harp Column is still bringing practical news to practical harpists around the world 6 times a year, now also in digital format. Did you know that Harp Column magazine supports all of our other projects? That's why we could really use your help. Subscribe to Harp Column magazine today so we can continue bringing you all of the harp news and updates you've come to expect from us. Just go to www.harpcolumn.com to sign up today, and you'll receive our July issue in your mailbox. We know you won't want to miss an issue. So I was basically hanging on Yolanda's every word during our conversation. She's so well-spoken, engaging, and beyond everything else, excited about what she's doing. Her passion is infectious and really needs no more introduction.
What I love about it is I really get to play the harp in this piece. I'm not just sort of a gimmick meister. You know, I'm not just like banging and slapping and trying to find some new patch of wood on my harp that hasn't been hit before. The first movement is called First Light. And without being, you know, sort of predictably programmatic, it really captures that feeling, but in a kind of a unique way. And the concerto starts out with just harp alone, which is another thing I said to her. You know, you got to give me some time to play just by myself. Concertos that are like a war between the harp and the orchestra, and balance is just whack. Those pieces never work as well. You've got to sort of try and balance the big blend between harp and orchestra, and then give an audience who at least a handful of people, probably more than a handful of people in every audience that comes to hear the harp on a concert, really wants to hear the harp because they really like the harp. So many times, like at the CD signing table after a concert, I'll have people say, you know, I've never been to the Philharmonic, but when I saw there was a harp on the schedule, it's always been my favorite instrument. I always wanted to play. There are just a million variations on that story. Oh, my grandmother played the harp and I so regretted never learning. And, you know, then I tell them, well, it's never too late. But, you know, there is that contingent in every audience. And I think probably those that aren't members of that contingent probably don't know much about the harp, aren't used to seeing it in the solo capacity. So in this work, I really wanted a chance for people to hear the texture and the color of the harp by itself sometimes. And so the whole piece, it starts with a really beautiful opening that just allows me to really kind of play with the resonance of the harp and, you know, just sort of introduce the entire audience to, well, you know, here's what the harp sounds like in a really artful setting. And, you know, as we go along, we'll add other things and you can sort of absorb all the textures in sort of a layered way. The last movement is called Rap Knock, and it starts sort of with a little, like a conversation between the harp and the percussion. And I'm hitting the soundboard in various rhythms. And, you know, that's a really, I think, you know, that requires some artfulness on the part of the harpist, and it also, you know, blends with the orchestra, and it's a wonderful kind of segue into that big full orchestra sound that the last movement is. It's really fast and dynamic.
Wow, that's, wow. I feel like the audience in Rochester is going to be blown away.
Oh, I hope so. You know, the first performance of a piece, I gotta say, it's sort of, I said this the last time I premiered a harp concerto. Well, I've done a couple, but I said this about the Bright Sheng harp concerto that I premiered with the San Diego Symphony. I think that was probably close to 10 years ago. It's kind of like, it's like a reality show, you know, because you're dealing with this slightly unknown entity. Usually when I go play concerto with an orchestra, I know exactly what it's going to sound like, and I'm there as sort of a collaborator and working with the conductor to really hone together a performance and usually two, maybe three rehearsals before a first concert. And, you know, I know the result I'm going for. I know what it's going to sound like, but I really have no idea what this is going to sound like all put together. I've had a session with a pianist. Jennifer was kind enough to make a piano reduction. Mm-hmm. So I've been able to sort of get the rhythms. My primary concern is knowing the tutis in between my licks, my entrances, so that, you know, I don't come into the wrong place. So there's a certain amount of study involved in that. And, you know, I want to do all that before I sit there on stage rehearsing with the orchestra. But it's a complete unknown. That first rehearsal is going to be like a giant light bulb for me, because I just simply don't know what it's all going to sound like. Because with piano, it's so different. And Jennifer uses such color and texture, and just the mere notes and rhythms aren't going to give me really any clue what things are actually going to sound like. So I'm excited. It's sort of like living off the edge when you premiere a new piece. You can never be completely prepared for everything. But the conductor in Rochester is a friend, Ward Stair, and he's just a really young, dynamic guy and a wonderful musician. So I think he's really kind of a perfect collaborator for this first performance. And then after we do this, I'll start on the premiere series of performances, which will go on through the 18-19 season. So I'm kind of excited about it becoming sort of like an old friend by about a year from now, because I'll get to play it with a bunch of different orchestras and a lot of different times. So, you know, I'm so honored that the Rochester Philharmonic is going to put this on a CD of theirs in September. So I'm going back to Rochester to open their season. It's going to be a live recording. So I'm going to get to record it in September, and that is always an incredibly illuminating process. I think recording is one of the greatest teachers. That's why I make all my students at there with their Zoom and record themselves, because I can sit there till I'm blue in the face and tell them what needs to happen. But until they can hear it without the task of executing it themselves, it's hard to have quite the same realizations, you know. So that's going to be really exciting too. You can't always get exactly what you want, but I have to say, this setup is really ideal. I'm based in Cleveland, so I'm going to get to use my own harp, which is becoming such a luxury for me. I use, I don't know, dozens of unfamiliar harps a year when I give concerts. And so to be able to just drive over there and have my own harp and, you know, be relatively comfortable and play in a beautiful hall. I mean, acoustically, the Eastman Theater is just gorgeous. And with a conductor who's a friend and a composer that's just a dream, a wonderful orchestra. And also to be able to actually do the premiere before recording it. It's always so scary when you kind of play something for the first time and then are expected to record it in the same period of time. You just don't have the revelations. I mean, probably Jennifer and I are going to have a dozen conversations between now and next September when the piece is recorded and tweak and change and amend.
Jennifer Higdon's Harp Concerto is a consortium commission from the Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra, Harrisburg Symphony Orchestra, Baton Rouge Symphony Orchestra, Fargo-Moorhead Symphony Orchestra, Lansing Symphony Orchestra, and the Oklahoma City Philharmonic Orchestra, with performances scheduled throughout the 2018-2019 season. For those who don't know, a consortium is when a number of orchestras or entities collaborate to gather the funding for a large project. If you live in one of these cities, be sure to check out your orchestra's calendar for the next season. Then, tell your mama, tell your cousin, their best friend, your fifth grade science teacher, tell everyone, offer rides and organize trips to go see Yolanda perform, not only to hear an amazing piece of new music by a world-class performer, but because filling a house in Harrisburg, in Baton Rouge, and Rochester, in Oklahoma City, in all of these cities is our way of saying thank you to all of these spectacular orchestras that have helped make a huge contribution to our community. To close out our time with Yolanda, I wanted to finish with a final lovely thought that she said at the end of our phone call.
I can't even count the number of premieres of new works I've done in my life, and every one of them is special because you sort of feel like you're bringing something new to the universe. You know, you're sort of unleashing a new combination of sounds, a new sonic experience, and I'm always honored to be a part of that in any format. But this one just feels personal. You know, it took a long time to put together, and, you know, I have to say, I have not had this much fun learning a piece of music in a really long time. So, I mean, that just feels like a gift.
That's it for episode 39. Many thanks to Yolanda Condonasis for speaking with us today. For more information on Yolanda, you can visit her website at www.yolandaharp.com. For those who are anxious to get their fingers into the Higdon Harp Concerto for themselves, have a little patience. Yolanda has a standard 2-year exclusivity contract. 2020 is just around the corner, and by that time, there'll also be a recording available. Yolanda also has a book coming out in the near future titled The Composer's Guide to Writing for the Harp, which includes illustrations by musician-cartoonist Jeffrey Kernow. If you want to learn more about Jennifer Higdon, you can visit her website at www.jenniferhigdon.com. If you'd like a taste of what her music sounds like, I would recommend either the Pulitzer Prize-winning Violin Concerto or one of the Grammy Award-winning percussion or viola concertos. Music for today's episode comes from my favorite Yolanda Condonasis CD, American Harp, available on iTunes. To learn more about Harp Column, please visit www.harpcolumn.com and subscribe today to gain access to past issues as well as a lot of great web content. My name is Dr. Christina Finch, and we at Harp Column hope that you have a spectacular week. Thank you.